reading is on page 969. It's from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13. You, each one of you, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, good morning. Thank you. So, in our verse today and in our key reading for this series of teaching, there is one key image, one key term that comes up, which I'm going to focus primarily on today, and that is salt, saltiness. Now, I unashamedly am a big fan of salt, which is, I know in this day and age we are encouraged to watch our salt intake, but to me, anyone who's eating chips without a good layer of salt on top is missing out. And just for our younger people as well, I'm well aware that being salty is, particularly in like gaming terminology, is to be rather negative about other people. That is not what we're talking about this morning, but we will unpack that a bit further. Just thought I'd clue you guys in early on that one. And also, by way of as a possible apology to parents of my young people, we were discussing this verse in our youth session a few weeks ago, and we were trying out plain potato crisps with various seasonings on them, by way of an illustration, and clearly icing sugar was a big hit and caught on, so if that's been a request at home, I do apologise. But salt and sweet, it marries up, you know. We see it in popcorn, we see it in fudge, caramel, but trust me, I've done the research, it doesn't exist in potato crisps yet, so maybe we're on to a winner. So any possible investors, come see me at the end. However, back to today. Hopefully, what we're going to explore and what we can all take away is that evangelism, or sharing Jesus, needn't be something that's big and scary, but thinking specifically about the conversations we have, it can be done in the smallest of things. Now, I'm going to introduce you to two figures who have been very important in my faith development over the years, and we're going to see what we can take from their approaches and from their lives and apply it to the verse. So, does anyone recognise this gentleman? Oh, C.S. Lewis comes the resounding response from the congregation. Very well done. Now, I'm aware there's probably people sat out there in the congregation that know considerably more about the life of C.S. Lewis than I do, so forgive me as I generalise quite a bit. But he's well known for works that try to communicate the key messages of Christianity to the masses. But it wasn't a seamless journey. He was raised in a family of faith. However, at the age of about 15, became a staunch atheist, convinced of the fact that God couldn't possibly exist. And some of the works that he was influenced by were written in Latin, and this is how he translated one of those passages. Had God designed the world, it would not be a world so frail and faulty as we see. However, the story didn't end there. Whilst attending Oxford and Magdalen College, I'm pretty sure, and after many discussions with friends of faith, such as J.R.R. Tolkien, Lewis comes to be convinced of God's existence. And one night at Magdalen College, he gives his life to God. There are two major things that I want to emphasize about C.S. Lewis's life, his work, and his impact on me. One of the things he's most famous for is writing the Narnia series of books, which throughout the series seeks to bring the reader to a deeper understanding of Jesus and his sacrifice through his parallels with the character of Aslan, the lion. And in doing so, this continues to speak to the whole world, even today. But something else that he did was during the Second World War and during the Blitz, when Britain was under direct threat and it was suffering daily, Lewis gives a series of lectures on the radio to speak hope to the people of this country. This hope was entirely wrapped up with the idea of the existence of the Christian God and his relationship with his people. These talks were then later sort of published as books and wrapped up together into the book Mere Christianity, which if you've not read, you've not experienced, I have a copy here. Please do come have a look at it at the end. And if you want to borrow it and have a read, just let me know that you're taking it. And in stark contrast to the previous quote that we have, this is what C.S. Lewis comes to recognize and to know, that God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. What a turnaround from those years before. And for me, in my life, C.S. Lewis's justification of faith on a rational level, but also coming from the heart, is something that really spoke to me and encouraged me. Now, perhaps a trickier one. Does anyone recognize this young lady on the screen? I can educate you a bit on this one. This is good. Okay, so this is a young lady called Rachel Joy Scott. Okay, she was one of the children, one of the pupils that was shot during the Columbine school shooting of 20th of April 1999. She, along with 11 other students and one teacher, and indeed the two perpetrators of the shooting, all lost their lives that day. Her journals, which document her life with God, her struggles and her worries, were published alongside writing by her parents and those that knew her well in the book Rachel's Tears. Again, if you're interested, do come see me, or I'll leave them around, lying around at the front. Do come have a look and a check out of that afterwards. I first read that book when I was about 15 or 16, in about sort of 2002 kind of time. Now, Rachel never spoke directly to a whole nation about her faith in the same way that C.S. Lewis did, nor did she have one single dramatic conversion experience like Lewis could point to that night at Magdalen College. But what she did do was that she openly talked about her faith to those around her, those at her school. People knew about her faith. It may well transpire that was one of the reasons that she was targeted by the shooters themselves. What she did was that she managed to not let fear or worry about what other people might think stop her from speaking the truth. And I've got a quote from her here. I'm not going to apologize for speaking in the name of Jesus. I am not going to hide the light that God has put in me. And I think we can see the parallel with our gospel reading there today about a city on a hill cannot be hidden, and that we should shine as lights in the world. Now, as a teenager who was navigating the minefield of peer relationships and trying to work out where I stood on a lot of issues, Rachel's example really spoke to me. And I find myself periodically coming back to her records in published journals about her own struggles with faith. Sometimes she feels distant from God, but still has that resilience to keep on going. And actually, the fruit that comes from the smallest of conversations she has with those around her. Some of us may feel like we're not qualified to share the gospel, or that people wouldn't want to hear what we have to say. I think that God has a better statement for you than that, and we are going to explore that in our verses for today. I'm going to bring up two key passages. So from the Colossians verse, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. So people that don't believe. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And then from the Matthew verse, let your light shine before others. In looking at these passages, I'll just remove some of the surrounding text so we can see clearly. In both of these verses, we have this word, let, at the beginning. I haven't dug down into the Greek translation for this, I'm afraid, but just my personal reaction to that word being there is that it suggests that actually our conversations being full of grace, seasoned with salt, and us shining before others should be a natural thing that we do, but perhaps sometimes we don't let ourselves do that. We put up some barriers in the way. Maybe we think that it's a bigger deal, a bigger mission than perhaps it first appears. But what we're talking about today is not big upfront evangelism. We're not all called to be Pauls. The first part of the Colossians verse we're looking at is a lot of encouragement, and the fact that the recipients of the letter should pray for Paul and his colleagues in their mission for which he's currently imprisoned, but opening doors for the gospel and that their message will be spread. And then we come to this part, which is for everyone. Seasoned with salt, adding something of flavor, of substance, to something that was already there. If you like, bringing a pinch of Jesus to our conversations with others and not avoiding those opportunities. And I am always struck by how a small amount of seasoning can make a big difference. I don't know if anyone else has drastically miscalculated the use of dried chili flakes in cooking. Anyone? Yes, there's some nods. You will know it doesn't take much to drastically alter the flavor of what you're offering. Okay. I had a quick think about what some of the questions we might be asked are, where we might sometimes hold back and not share something of our faith. And I've come up with a short little list. What did you do at the weekend? Nothing really. Could we replace that with, oh, well, I went to church on Sunday morning, but other than that, I sort of potted about, couldn't really be bothered to do the gardening. Already, we're offering a little bit of something more. What are you doing for Christmas? We instantly associate that with, where are you eating lunch? That's pretty much the heart of the question that we jump to. But maybe that's an opportunity to share some of our outreach events, or just share what we are doing personally to celebrate Jesus at this time of year. Why are you so happy? We're not always happy, obviously, but maybe we have, if we've just been greatly encouraged by a Bible passage that we've read, or from our fellowship with others of the faith, if someone asks why we're happy, we can answer that in an honest way. What are you reading at the moment? Again, a real chance to share maybe some scripture, maybe some related book, particularly if you're reading one of these. You could have a great big conversation about that. But maybe some of these are the opportunities that we don't readily take. Now, slightly riskily, I am going to invite you to think of maybe some other questions that we might be asked, which can give us the opportunity to communicate something of our faith. Now, if you want to just have a quiet reflection on your own for a minute, that's fine. If you want to have a little chat with the people around you, I'm going to give you like 1 minute to have a little chat, and then I'm going to take all of the ideas that you have and add them to my own. Okay, so you're going to have 1 minute. I'm going to do it on my watch as well. So you have 1 minute starting from now. Oh, sorry, I got carried away there. I gave you far too long. There we go. So, do we have any brave offers from the congregation of some other opportunities or questions that we might be asked? Is that Anne? Oh, shout it out, Anne. So someone comments on the beauty of nature around you, then there's a chance for you to communicate your belief in a creator God that put it all in place. Christine. Oh, there. So some excellent opportunities coming up with a new community facility and sort of cafe environment to have. The very smallest of conversations and comments initially, and then we can see where that goes. Oh, Ethan, yeah. What do you watch on TV? And you can reply songs of praise or something like that. Absolutely, yeah. But no, genuinely, yeah, what are you watching? What have you been listening to? Absolutely, brilliant one, brilliant one. Oh, excellent. Oh, yeah, Kathy. Oh, absolutely. So if you had a holiday, and I guess you were sort of touring some of the New Testament sites while you were there. Absolutely. What an opportunity to share through a very innocent question about holidays. How much can we share? Brilliant. Fantastic. So as you can see, sharing something about Jesus doesn't have to be too big or too scary. It can just be that little bit of seasoning to something that was already there. Now, you might seem to think that these are all very trivial matters. Nothing there is going to change anyone's mind. It's not worth sticking your neck out for a conversation like that. What difference could it possibly make? But genuinely, we all have something to share, and we can do that in the smallest of ways. Now, for you maths lovers, I've got a lovely graph there. So this is an area graph of the percentage of speech up the side that is about Jesus, and that's a sort of a map of time across the bottom. So yeah, as you can see there, there's a tiny increase at the end of us speaking about Jesus to people outside of our church circle. It doesn't look very impressive or very impactful just there. But if we play with the axes a little bit and we zoom in, oh, look at that. Okay, it's incredible. It's the same graph, but the Holy Spirit can take your little grain of salt and really use it. I always say quite often that something is better than nothing. In this case, something is immeasurably more than nothing. If you want to know what sort of an increase 1% is to 0% as a multiple, you can't do it. It's infinitely more than zero. Thanks, Martin, for with the Holy Spirit, our little bits of seasoning can have a big effect. Now, I'm sure many of you will be upset that I didn't bring any props with me today, as is my usual habit, but I want to leave you with one small visual about how the smallest of comments, the smallest of beginnings, can have a big effect. And I made this last night. So this is a video to show how the smallest of actions can have the biggest of consequences. I have here a little sachet of salt, such as you might use to season a packet of crisps. Not very heavy. Let's see what effect it can have. You didn't notice the small cut where it stopped and I had to restart it, did you? No, okay, good, excellent. There were a few times when part of it fell down as I was building it, which obviously was an important lesson in perseverance, which I'm thankful for, so that's good. As we end, I'm just going to pray very quickly. Lord, this week, please help us to have the courage to stop preventing some of those natural small conversations and small comments about you that could really open big doors. Take the seasoning that we will drop on conversations and use it to your glory and to bring people into a greater knowledge and awareness and into a relationship with you. Amen. And again, if you want to look at either of my books, I will have them available at the end.
Rob, thank you very much. Let's stand and sing a couple of songs of response now to our God. And in these songs, specifically picked, let's just rededicate our lives, give ourselves to God, give all that we have, all that we are to Him, that He can take us and use us. Let's stand and sing.